I certainly enjoyed it, and it kept me out of quite a bit of mischief, and I think I learned a few things that I wouldn't have known otherwise. Of course, it's always nice to be in scouting, to be reinforced by somebody else, and if you have two or three people doing it, it seems to make it a little bit easier. But I did enjoy the times when I was a lone scout.
Was this similar to Boy Scouts, that you had meetings?
There were no meetings because you were alone. That was what there was no scout master or anything else about that. But they were tied to the scouts in some ways. I think that later they had, you could transfer some of your points to a scouting program if you moved into that kind of a community.
Now the Boy Scouts came a little later than Lone Scouts, didn't they? Or
I think they ran a similar course during a similar period of time, at least for a few years.
What was the idea of having Lone Scouts as opposed to Boy Scouts?
The idea was that there were some youngsters like I was, that they're captive on a farm that could not get into a scouting program in a city, and that they ought to have, if it was a good program, then they should have the opportunity to belong to it the same as the scouts in the city, where they have a scoutmaster and a more regular kind of a schedule.
What do you remember what sorts of merit badges you achieved?
Yes, I worked on the athletic one, and I had to achieve a certain one in swimming. It was very difficult for me. I had to run under a certain speed, and these were tough because I was a rather corpulent youngster, but I did achieve them. And I don't remember that it was, I think Mildred and Helen helped me. If Helen would have chased me, I might have achieved it a little easier, but it was, that's one that I remember. And then there was a reading one, reading so many books and doing some writing. And altogether, I think I probably had 10, 12 of them. Camping, and cooking your own meals. I got a backpack, and I hiked, would hike up the draw about a mile away from the house, cook my own meal. I don't think it was a tremendous meal, but part of the stipulation, at least his mother and mine, was that when I came back, I didn't piece any till the next meal. And so it was, I think it did have some merit. I can still cook a meal out over a fire if I have to.
Do you remember what you made for yourself?
The one thing that I remember, it was eggs, and cooking eggs without a pan. And you make a hole in the end of the egg, so, and then you put it in the coals at the edge. You can't get them too hot, or it'll break. And if you do it just right, you'll bake the egg in the shell. And then when it cools a little, you can just peel the shell off and eat it. And they're delicious if you do it right. Mm-hmm. But it's awful easy to make a mess of it and end up with a lot of ash on your egg.
You were able to bake the egg all right?
Yes, I did it after several experiments and breaking an egg or two. Also corn, ear corn, cooking it in the ashes of a fire. And in fact, my brother-in-law Ed and my brother Bill and I up until a few years ago, we used to go up into the mountains and on some of our own property and with ear corn and a pheasant or two and have an eat out, and it's always been a lot of fun. We've enjoyed it. I certainly don't want to give you the impression that I'm a good camp cook, because I'm not. And if anybody else will do it, I'll gladly wash the dishes.
I'm not sure what's worse when you're camping. How did you get along with the animals on the farm? Did you enjoy?
I was a kind of a timid youngster, and I was afraid of most of the animals. I did like the big horses. I just thought they were great at that age in my life. And I used to ride on the wagon with one of our hired men who would ride them. I'd do almost anything to get to be able to ride with him. The pigs I just frankly was scared of. And the journey, the pigs that were, I was reckoned or was associated with would be the big sows. And they intimidated me. I wouldn't get in the pen with them. And I was attracted to the smaller ones when they had babies, but the mothers didn't seem to want me to handle them, and so I wouldn't. And they still tell a story about I came in to mother and said, "Oh, I'm awfully brave. I've gotten over all my fears." And I said, "I sat right there in that chair out there, and that sow was right over the fence from me, and it didn't bother me a bit." And then one of my sisters said, "Well, you didn't know it until you got inside here that you'd been sitting next to that sow." Well, that was the truth. So because I hadn't known it, I was pretty brave. But if I'd have known it, I'd have moved.
Did you ever have any bad experiences with the sows?
No, I didn't. They just didn't like their grunts. And I was, until I came down here in 1960, I hadn't had much relationship with hogs. I had gotten over my fear, but I wasn't really didn't know much about them.
Did you ever learn to drive the big horses?
Yes, I did drive. In fact, I worked in the field and took a man's place when I was 11 years old, driving in the field, and I learned how to harness and take care of them. But I was just on the verge, and within the next year or two, and by the time I was 14, I think we were down to one team on the ranch, probably two horses. The tractors had come in, and they'd replaced the teams. So I was, when I was 11 or 12, I did do some driving, and I worked in harvest. One of my jobs was to take care of 6 head of horses, morning and night, to feed them and harness them, rub them down if you needed it. So I did get to know more about horses. I grew up so I didn't like horses, but at that time I was very fond of them.
That's a pretty big job, isn't it, handling six horses?
Not too much. It was in harvest time that I did this, we had 4 wagons with 6 head of horses on them. And we had 16 head of horses on the combine, that pulled the combine. So 16, and so we had 40 head of horses all together to take care of. And my job was to take care of 6 of them, to see that they were harnessed. And once you got into a routine of it, I don't think it ever took me over 30 minutes to harness them or to unharness them, as far as that goes. But you had to be very careful and keep the harness straight, put it in the right spot, see that the collar pads were clean and that the horse was not getting a bruise or rubbed any place. And if it was, why then you call that attention to your head driver or your or father. But just 1 year did I get to do that. I did work with teams more than 1 year, but 1 year in harvest, and then we got a tractor. And one of my first jobs I think I drove the tractor the first year we had the tractor on the, no, I take it back. It would have been the second or third year. I think I was 13 years old when I pulled a combine with the tractor. So it was the third year I'd worked in harvest, as I recall. But it was an easy job and nothing to.
Do you remember what kind of draft horses those were? They were all draft horses?
Yes. They would have ranged in weight from, I suppose, 1150 to 1600 pounds, something like that. Big horses, some of them big horses. And there certainly is some percherin in them, none of them pure. They were all mixtures. But
what's it like to drive horses? How many lines do you have?
Well, the only teams that I drove, we just used two lines. The people and pulling the combine, they only had 2 lines. That was on the lead horses. But in the wagons, some of the drivers would rig up an outfit where they would have, with 6 horses, they'd have 6 lines. And they'd run a line through each fingers. That's the way you'd hang on to them. I thought they were putting it on because others only used the lines to their lead horses. The rest of them had to follow anyway. But it did make a more attractive looking outfit if you had the, and you looked a bit more like a teamster if you had the more lines you had.
So it wasn't really necessary.
Well, I don't think people got along without them, and but it, and I'm sure that it helped. You must have probably had a very much more responsive kind of a team. Probably could turn faster and better, but you also had to be more skilled to do it.
How was it done to control the horses just with two lines?
Your lead horses and the two out in front would determine where the rest of them would go. And so when they'd make a turn, why this would indicate where the others would go. And you did it by, if you pulled on your left one, that horse would turn. Well, that would just swing the others. And the only effect, if you'd have two horses in the lead, the one on the left made the left-hand turns, started the left-hand turns, the one on the right started the right-hand turns. Now, I also drove six abreast, which would be to pull a rod, weeder, or spring tooth. And you only have two lines there, and the horses on the outside edge are the only ones that are controlled. Although, as I recall that hookup, they were all hooked. Their heads were kept spaced apart with the tie lines between the different horses. So if the horse on the left started to turn, they all were affected by this line which pulled on their mouths too. So they all, the one line would get them all to turning.
I was just thinking about how flighty horses can be sometimes. The other horses that were not hooked up to the direct lines, did they have some control on their mouths?
I think they all did. And again, I'm a little bit vague because I almost forgot how those hookups were made. But I think they did. They were not. When the lead horses started to move, they were all didn't have too much choice but to follow them. And I think there must have been a control with their reins.
Was diphtheria the first of your serious illnesses?
The first, this kind of runs together, but it seems to me that the first serious illness I had came when I was about 8 or 9 years old. And this is the illness associated with my grandfather staying at the house. And this was I guess I could describe it best as a nervous breakdown. I think they would have a different kind of a name for it now. That and as a result of it, I was home for 3 or 4 months, and it, to get over it and get reaffirmed and reestablished. And I think it was compounded because I had diphtheria during this period, and I can remember that of twitching in bed, which diphtheria at that time was a very serious, fatal to a lot of people. I didn't have any great problems that way, but there was a lot of fear.
How does diphtheria begin?
Well, as I recall, it seemed like a bad cold, and I can remember coughing up phlegm that looked like came up about the very thick consistency, I guess I was out of my head for a few days with it. That
must have
been. It was a pretty bad experience. They kept me isolated from the rest of the family, trying to, and I guess we were quarantined because there wasn't too much around, and it, of course, it wiped out the Indians. But apparently, I had a little more resistance to it than that type, and the medicine then was becoming a little better.
You say it wiped out the Indians. Are you talking about the local?
No, the diphtheria though was generally credited with getting a lot of the Alaskan Indians and the Northwest Indians.
So it was a high fever?
High fever, yes, very high fever.
Delirium?
Yeah.
And how did it progress?
I don't have a real good recollection of what it did. I did have a breakdown. I was nervous at the time, and I threw my arms around trying to get water or something, and I was I was a pretty demanding patient, I'm afraid. I remember Father coming in and saying that, and telling me to get control of myself, and I felt so helpless because I couldn't control myself. I couldn't stop it, and I felt very badly. I mean, he made me feel real badly. He probably shouldn't have done it, but I do recall that part of the experience. And Grandfather was there at the time, and I remember he got the unpleasant task of sitting with me for a good many hours, and I probably should be I was in his debt for that, although I was out of my head a good share of the time. I think maybe he was reading me the scripture, but
and this lasted several months.
Yes, I think I was down for about 3 months, and I'm just not sure whether this came in the last part of my second grade, or whether it was during winter time, or whether it came in my when I was in the third grade. But I kind of think it must have been in the second grade, because when I went to the third grade, well, then I transferred out to the country, and it seemed to me that I had a full year in school at that time. So I think it must have come in. I would have been about I would have been about 7 years old. Now the second illness came when I was in the 11th grade, and I would have been 11 or 12 years old. Mm-hmm.
And that was the polio?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How did that begin?
I had been staying home. I was doing the chores. I was old enough to milk the cows then. And I was staying home, and Uncle Otto decided he'd take me to the Roundup. And it was a big deal, so we were going to go to the Roundup. And he had a car. He had the family car. And I think just Uncle Otto and I, we were going to have a big day, and it was a particular big day because there's some other things we were going to do. We were going to go hear William Cullens Bryan, who was was an orator, and it was in favor of the silver monetary standards. And he talked in the park in Pendleton, and I remember we went there. I think we were there at 10 o'clock. The second thing was there was a wrestling match in town, and Ted Thigh, who was a Portland wrestler, wrestling was big in those days, and some upstart was wrestling, and we went to that, and had rained, and I can remember they had a big tarp covering the, but somebody pulled the cord, it came off, and all the water ran down, but they got that fixed, I didn't know anything about wrestling, but I think Ted Thigh won. Well, I'm sure he did. And then we went to the Roundup. We came home. I milked the cow, and I didn't feel real sharp, but who would have after probably eating everything that anybody would have had me? I didn't feel too good that night. But the next morning, when I got up, I couldn't, my right arm wouldn't move. And Mother said that I was inaudible. My vocal cords were affected by it too, and they never told me about that. But so, as soon as they discovered I wasn't faking, well, Mother had no question about that. Really, I should. Some of the rest of them did. They got the doctor, and they determined that I could feel, but I just didn't have it. Well, infantile paralysis at that time was just, you know, didn't happen very often. And so they kept me in bed for a couple of weeks, which I don't think they needed. I never felt that bad, but I just didn't have any movement. They eventually took me to a specialist in Portland. And at that time, the idea of recovering was to rest the muscles. I carried my arm in a sling for about 3 or 4 months, and then I had it. They had a cast. I held my arm out like that, And so we kept it that. And then they decided I wasn't going to. I got a few of the muscles back. Biceps came back, some of the others, so I could get around and do some things. But in looking back at it, should have been a lot more they could have done. And if they'd had a regular exercise program for me and follow-up therapy, that I probably would have been not as handicapped as I am now. But they didn't know, and I think I had the best care that was available at the time. So.
Did they recognize what it was? Did they know?
All I ever knew was that it was infantile paralysis. I guess they call it polyomyelitis or something like that. And they determined how many muscles were gone. But I think by the time they did that, they probably were, some of them had atrophied them and couldn't be developed. I am, 6 months ago, I started a health program that indicates to me that even that we didn't do the right things. We should have followed a lot more rigid exercise program. Mm.
Was it painful?
No, never any pain connected with it that I can recall. I ran a fever for a while, and that was the reason they kept me in bed, I think. There was some kind of fever with it. The voice came back within 5 or 6 months fairly well. But I guess that's a fairly common thing to go out with your paralysis.
I once talked to a polio victim, and apparently there are a couple of different kinds of it. And he said that it was an extreme burning feeling during the initial period when he had a high fever. You don't remember it. Apparently it was like that.
Don't recall anything. I didn't feel real sharp, but I'd had an awful big day the day before, and I couldn't say. But I don't recall any, have no pain.
So this was in the fall then, and mm-hmm. you were ill for 5 or 6 months?
I was for a couple of months. Now they sent me back to school. I was going to country school then. I was in the seventh grade. I went to school with my arm in a sling. I wasn't given instructions not to use it. And during the seventh grade, I wrote left-handed, which I still can't do very well. And I got the poorest grades I ever had. I think it was I was a shortened year. I had to cover a full course. In the test that I took that year, at that time, you took 3 or 4 statewide tests in the seventh grade. So I took, I got 84, 90, something like that. Poorest grades I ever had on these tests. I passed, and they say that this, you think, when you write with your left hand, you have a tendency to think on the opposite lobe in your head, and that it may be in this that wasn't quite as sharp as I should have been. So I think that if I'd have kept writing left-handed, of course you'd eventually develop that, but I didn't. As soon as I got my arm out of a cast, I went back to writing right-handed.
Those grades sound pretty good, 84 and 90.
You were always
a good student.
I was an overachiever. I wanted to have an A on everything, and I wanted to, we always strove for the very best grades. I wanted to be the best in my class, and in a statewide competition, I wanted to be best in the state. Of course, I wasn't, but I wanted to be, and I worked real hard for it. I was a good student. Teachers liked me.
What were your best subjects in school?
I would think that history I liked history. Civics certainly would be a good course. Probably my weakest would be English. I understand mathematics, very rapid at it, mathematics. I think I could have, would have enjoyed a career in, maybe not in bookkeeping, but something that does use mathematics. And with the new kind of machines they have nowadays, you can go so much further. It would have been a very interesting process. Well, I never did after school, though. I never used mathematics much, but it did come easy. English would have been my toughest subject, and the one that I would have liked to have been able to write and express my thoughts. I think maybe I could have trained myself to do it, but it certainly was not a natural ability.
How were your emotions during this illness? Was it depressing to be sick for so long?
I can't ever say that I was particularly depressed. I've never felt that I was particularly unfortunate because I was paralyzed. I just had to look at, I knew a girl whose leg was paralyzed, and I could get by, I could pass. People didn't know I was paralyzed, but they could tell she was paralyzed. And I thought, well, gee, that would have been a lot worse if I could have been a lot worse. And I kind of took that attitude. And Mother was great to keep my spirits up. And the other children were all helpful too. So I never really felt that I was particularly handicapped. I think it did make me probably a little overachiever in trying to prove that I could do anything anybody else could in way of work and athletics. And I've tried to do that. Of course, I couldn't, but I tried. And I never to tell anybody. I used to be a little more sensitive about it. I never tell anybody my arm was paralyzed, but now, I don't mind telling them now. I mean, I've got over that years ago. But lots of people that have known me all my life don't know my arm is paralyzed.
How much loss did you have at the end of your illness? How much of the use of your arm had you lost?
My arm was pretty near helpless when the first, and the number of muscles that came back, and I think this is where therapy might have helped us, but the muscles that came back, largely came back only because of willingness to work with them, and the encouragement of Mother and the doctors to get into this program of throwing tennis balls against the building, and this type of thing. Many of the muscles just never came back. I have no strength to move my arm in certain ways, but others did, and I can row a boat pretty well. It doesn't seem to bother. But
has it progressed that the number of muscles that have come back over the years, have you been able to increase your use of the arm?
I think it's staying in athletics that I kept enough, and doing quite a bit of physical work, I kept a number of them active. But once they were gone, it just didn't seem like they came back. We never examined it on that basis. And I think that if the doctors had a little better understanding of the kind of muscles, all of the muscles that were gone, that a work program, since some of them did come back, that a work program on some of the others, some kind of weight building program or weight lifting program, might have brought the others back. We didn't have that, and you'll never know, it's just always going to be a question. But my own experience in the last 6 months is that a little bit more could have been done if we'd have worked at it. But I played basketball and I played baseball. I got so I could throw pretty well. Not an awful lot of strength, but lots of people saw me play baseball, didn't even know it was paralyzed.
How long did you have to write with your left hand?
All of the, went through all the seventh grade, and I guess into probably almost the fall. I think I got, they took the cast off probably late in the summer of my year between the seventh and eighth grade.
see, you had diphtheria, the paralysis. What other major illnesses did you have?
Well, I had the second nervous breakdown, a much more severe one, when I started high school. And I transferred into Athena. I went into Athena for the high school. That's where the high school was going to be. It was foreign to me. I had been the top achiever in my class, and I wanted to be again. So I worked awfully hard. I studied extremely hard. I had four different professors. Maybe I'd been a little protected in Lord, and the people who really cared about me, that had been my teachers before, to be with some people who didn't seem to care quite as much about me and who assigned me a lot of homework. Just altogether it's made something a little bit more probably than I could handle. But I don't really know why it did, but by the middle of the year I was studying continuously. Just got so I couldn't handle everything, and I did have a nervous breakdown, and I didn't go to school through the second part of that year. So that was kind of a blend. I'd skipped the third grade, combined the third and fourth grade, so I really got back into my own age group as a result of it, but I was out for all of that year, and not a happy experience, not even a happy experience to look back on, but it's one that happened, so.
How was it manifest?
I became very nervous, and eventually I couldn't control things I was saying or the use of my hands, twitching, and I think probably some of the family still look for those kind of tendencies, but I've been under some, I don't think it was necessarily pressure, although the pressure of studying must have had an awful lot to do with it, because I've been under tremendous pressure since and haven't had any manifestations.
Where did you get the drive to achieve?
I guess it was just in me with the mother and father were both achievers. They wanted to set goals and wanted to do them. There was always a competitive feeling in our family, whether it was who was going to get the last piece of toast or to who was to our grades. And mother just expected us to be good, and she was not a driver. And as I've seen her a career dominator, as I've seen in some other families, but. She just, and then the paralysis, and the feeling that the criticism that we were from a small school and couldn't be able to accomplish anything, and that type of thing. All of it, I think, kind of added together. I just plain figured I was going to be first.
Were you succeeding at first?
Oh, yes. Yes, and I just had a nervous breakdown. Didn't stop me. I was the top in my class, of course, in a small school with 13, it wasn't that, but I was, I think, I never did have to take an exam, with the exception of manual training. did have to take the six, if you had, your grades were good enough, you didn't have to take exams at the end of 6 weeks, and so my grades were always good enough, I didn't have to take the exam, except in manual training, but he made everybody come, so I couldn't say that about that.
What was manual training?
You carpentry work, you had a little woodworking, and it was not really related to studying, but it was one of the things they had in the schools those days. Now they have shop, I guess you'd call it. So.
Now, you went on in high school to be a leader of sorts, didn't you? You were in plays? And...
Yes, I am. I enjoyed. Once I got over this first year, I enjoyed high school very much, and I began to get a little better relationship with my teachers, and we moved into town, so we didn't have to worry to get back and forth to the ranch. They wouldn't let me play athletics until I was my sophomore year, and which was a real happy experience for me. But I was in, I think, every play that came along. I was in the speech contest that they had at that time between schools, and played baseball, football, and basketball, and even a little track. And of course, this was only a small high school, 65 at most, and we played a full schedule of 11-man football, which doesn't seem possible nowadays. But so those years were very busy years, but very enjoyable.
Do you remember some of the roles that you played?
Yes, I remember one where I was a sea captain. I can't remember the name of the play. Although I've certainly someplace to be around. And I remember it was two experiences then. The captain from off the stage said, "What the devil's going on here?" And I remember they gave me $5 if I'd say, "What the hell's going on here?" Which I did. And with those days, that was pretty risque. And I also had to kiss. I had not a purely platonic type of kiss, but somebody. So in the wings, a girl named Carolyn Kidder, she said, my kissing wasn't very good. You're kissing your sister. Now you got to do a little better than that. So we practiced out there, and I got pretty good. She didn't mean anything. She was just a technician, really. But and I can remember those two things. But, I got real good. I evidently played a part really good because I was gave me some nice write-ups.
Was your favorite, did you prefer dramatic or comedy?
I have a tendency towards comedy, but I think if I really could go into being an actor, I would prefer the serious ones. I think they last longer. I played, I think one of the most provocative ones I did in high school was, and the drama teacher was a little over her head in that, we put on, there was two people, it was a playette of some kind, but I was the warden, and the other fellow was the prisoner, and we were going, and he was going to the death chamber, and it was his discussion with the warden, and it was pretty heavy, but we did it. The other boy was excellent, and that was the reason I think that she did it, because she had somebody that could play it. My role wasn't that good. But no, that one, and most of the things that we have in high school in a small town like that, you try to keep them fairly humorous. Mm-hmm. And
was there good attendance from the
community? Oh, yes. In those days, you didn't have so many competitive things for your time, and so we always played to a full house. And I think some of these we played twice.
What sports did you really excel in?
I don't know that you'd say that I excelled in any. I liked to play football. I liked to play everything. And in high school, probably I was better at football than anything else. I did make what would have been known as an All-Eastern Oregon team. At that time, we competed with the A teams, we were all in one group. And there wasn't an official all-star team, but some sports writer, I think LeGrand or someplace, I was selected on the all-star team. And the coach, Pike Miller, who was our coach, lived in Athena for many, many years, and he put me on his all-star team. So evidently I was better than just a green hand. But at the time, I just really liked all of the sports. In basketball, I didn't play till I was a junior. I'd had no experience at it. I never played anything before, and I was awfully rough. We didn't have television to watch. You know, that's a real big tool for these youngsters to be able to see the stars play. And so I was a senior before I would really be able to to produce very much or contribute really to anything, although I played hard. Baseball, I was good size, and I could always hit pretty good. And I played town team ball from the time I was a sophomore. I played town team ball actually almost as soon as I started playing high school ball, which is in those days where you had town teams that went, you played on Saturdays or Sundays and around the country, and generally got a few dollars for doing it. And they talk about Jim Thorpe being a professional. I was a professional before. I played amateur, I guess, really. But it wasn't enough to really get rich on. But I was always had a little problem with throwing because of that, but it was, my hitting was good, and actually my fielding generally was pretty fair. Nowadays, with the game progressed what it is, I'd be hard-pressed to make a high school team with the ability I had then.
Did you have to compensate for your arm?
In fielding, well, you can catch them with your... I've seen people play without any arm, where they toss the ball up, throw it with one hand. And I didn't have to do that. I could throw fairly well. I played second base, first base, where I didn't have to throw tremendously distances. Shortstop or third base or the outfield were a little bit difficult for me to play, and because of the arm. But hitting didn't seem to bother me a bit. I hit very well.
Did you ever, you must have started thinking about careers in high school. What were you considering?
The career I didn't want to be was a farmer. And I don't know, I guess people get that. I'd had to put a lot of hours in hauling hay and weeding, and the remuneration wasn't all that great. The father didn't even paying us, which I can understand. And I had hay fever. Chaff seemed to bother me. So I decided farming wasn't really what I wanted to get into. And so looking at the careers, before I went to school, I decided that I would be a lawyer. And I didn't have any particularly goal models to shooting at there, but it just seemed to me that I could. And somebody, a counselor at some place, I don't think he was in our school, but somebody had told me that I could qualify as a lawyer, that my intelligence was good enough, and that probably I could make it. So I went to when I went to college, I went on the basis of taking some pre-law. But I did not have real strong feelings. I didn't want to be a teacher. I didn't want to farm. I guess those are the things that I knew that I didn't want to do.
Did you ever think about acting?
No, it really wasn't. I didn't. There was no place I could go. It didn't seem to me that I could make it. If I'd have been in a bigger school, or it had indoctrination into some kind of a program earlier, I probably would have been very interested in it, but I never even thought of it, looking back.
You mentioned that when you were younger, you were corpulent. Then you were very active in sports in high school. Did you did you make a big change there?
No, I think I kind of grew into my weight. I was heavy. I don't think I was particularly out of size, but I was, with the inactivity and the sickness, good country food, I was heavy. I weighed about 195 pounds when I was in high school. Gradually, I got a little more muscle to go with it, and I think I've always been just a little bit on the heavy side, but by the time I got to high school, I think I was pretty husky young man.
When did you when did you become interested in girls? Did that happen in high school?
I certainly wasn't interested in girls in grade school, and I grew up with an older sister and a younger sister, and so I knew all of the bad part about women. But for some reason or other, I just was not particularly interested in girls. I suppose I would have been about a junior in high school before I really became aware that they were kind of nice to be around. And the sisters had made attempts to pair me up with girls at different times, and attempts which I'd resisted rather strenuously. Of course, they might have, they were not great helps, looking back at it. The, I guess the first real case I had was on a girl named Frances Cannon, who was a little bit older than I was. I want to back up a little bit. I guess I had a case on one of Helen's friends who, but I never even said hello to her. I just thought she was beautiful, and I got this crush, but I was such an insignificant thing that I felt that I couldn't even say hello to her, so I didn't. But I had the same kind of a crush on Frances when I got it to be about a junior, and Frances is still a good friend. She was a star basketball player on our team, and one thing another, but a very pretty girl and a very nice girl. And so I finally got nerve enough, dated her a few times during high school. Not a great deal, because I didn't have a car, and you don't come, another girl is 10 miles away from you when you aren't in school. But we did go together a little bit, and even a little bit after high school. But then she had a cousin, Valerie, who was only a freshman, and she was a beautiful girl. And so I never had a real strong crush on her, but I went with her until her folks told me to quit. I've seen her. I told her. She lives in Salem now. And in fact, I was the boss of a couple of her youngsters later. I said, "Gee whiz, if your folks hadn't chased us out, you don't tell them what we'd have, what would have happened." But those were the only two. Girls weren't all that important to me in high school. I didn't really have anybody that would